Amen. If we'd open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. And we'll begin reading at verse 2. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame in his presence in love, having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father, we are so thankful for thy great purpose that you have made known unto us by the revelation of Jesus Christ, that great revelation which you've declared through your end-time shout. And we recognize, Father, the relationship that you had with your Son, Jesus Christ. And we now recognize the relationship that you have with us. We are no longer a fearful people that see through a glass darkly, but now we see you face to face. And for this, Father, we are grateful. For we have come to recognize who you are. And in this we do now recognize also the relationship that we have with thee, not only as our great God, but now as our Father of glory. And in this we recognize our destiny, not to be mere mortal men, but our mortal is being swallowed up in immortality, until life is taking over our mortal bodies, bringing eternal life and eternal attributes of your dear Father, of your attributes, into every fiber of our being. And for this we will, through all eternal ages, come to be thankful and full of gratitude. Now bless our study once again in this great sermon of Who is this Melchizedek, that your prophet William Branham brought to us before he departed into thy presence. For we ask it in the only name that we pray, that of our Lord Jesus Christ, thy only begotten Son, who took your name. Amen. You may be seated. Wednesday night, we spoke on our approach to God from Romans 12 and 1. We broke down the scripture where Paul says you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, which is your reasonable service. And we broke those down and we looked at this approach. You know, we talked about a present is the same as presenting. It's the same word, present your body as a living sacrifice. In other words, you're giving it. It's a present. And when we give something, it's not so much what we give, but it's the intent of our heart. And it's the attitude behind the giving. And so we talked about our approach to the change of the body and our approach to God. And this morning I would like to again reflect upon what we had been talking the previous Wednesday night, from paragraph 65 or of 112 of Who's This Melchizedek, where Brother Branham said, "Therefore, the theophany." He said, "Now we see here plainly the complete secret of our lives and journey and death, and where we go after we die. Also, predestination is in plain view here." Now listen as we teach this closely. And so we have gone to Ephesians chapter 1. We found that predestination is very much in plain view. And we find where Brother Branham said, "Now we see here plainly the complete secret of our lives and journey and death, and where we go after we die. Also, predestination is in plain view here." Now listen as we teach this closely. "The stages of the eternal purpose that he had in his secret has now been revealed." Now we have been feasting on this thought for the past couple of weeks. How he said, "We see here plainly the complete secret of our lives and journey and death, and where we go after we die." And in our study we found these words of Brother Brown to be ever so perfect and ever so accurate in understanding. "The stages of the eternal purpose he had in his secret has now been revealed." A week ago, on Wednesday, we began by reviewing what Brother Branham said in the Church Age book, where he said, "Listen to me, naked physically we came into the world, but naked spiritually we will not leave it. Oh no, we are going to take something with us, and what that something is all that we can take with us, nothing less, nothing more. So we had better be real careful how to see that we take something that will make us right before God. So then, what will we take with us? We will take our character, brother. That is what we will take with us. Now, what kind of character will you take with you? Will it be like his, whose character was molded by suffering in the fiery furnace of affliction? Or will it be the softness of this characterless Laodicean people? It is up to each one of us, for in that day every man will bear his own burden." Now, we found in the Scripture much evidence that we will not only receive a body change, but that we have already a celestial body waiting the change of this body to join together with it to bring forth the glorified body. And we will have that, the one we'll have throughout eternity. We found in 2 Corinthians 5 in chapter 1, we read, "For we know that if our earthly tabernacle of this, earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that which we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life." And then 1 Corinthians 15:51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." And we examine this mortality being swallowed up of life, as Paul suggests to us in these verses of Scripture. And we follow the process of this God life taking over our mortal life. And it comes by a renewing of the mind, as we see in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, where Paul spoke of our transformation of the body coming through a process which involves first a renewing of the mind, or the inner man. Now, if you turn with me to Romans chapter 12, we're going to study this today. Notice we read from chapter 2, he says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, we read, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." And to be accurate in understanding what this renewing is, we find that the Greek word that Paul chose for renew is a word anakeno, and which means to cause to grow up. So let's just read it again. "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is being caused to grow up, to mature." So something then is causing the inner man to grow up, to mature, and we find that it's a certain knowledge that was given to us. So we're looking at a process of growing into maturity. Therefore, we must realize then that the process of receiving our transformation and change of the body is fully dependent upon our coming to a fully mature adult in the inner man. And Paul further taught that this renewing of a maturity in the inner man comes through the process of maturity coming into the mind. That is why in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23 he says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in right wiseness and true holiness. Again, we see then, this new man is to be created in right wiseness and true holiness. This then should clue us in that a wrong understanding will not bring forth this change. That is why the preaching of the Godhead and the doctrine is so important, because with a wrong understanding there is no body change, because there's no inner man change. In fact, Paul also said in Romans 10 that to hear a wrong word is not to hear at all. Let's just turn to it. Romans chapter 10, since we're there. And we'll go to chapter 10 and let's read from verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now the Baptists use this almost every time you hear a radio broadcast. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Alright, but what Lord are you calling upon? What if you call upon the Lord? The word Lord, Baal, means Lord. So what Lord are you calling upon? You see? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So if they don't believe, can they really call on him? That's what he's saying. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Therefore, if they haven't heard of the correct Lord, the only Lord that can make the change, then can they believe in him? If they haven't heard him or heard of him, can they believe in him? And if they don't believe in him, how could they call on him? You see? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. If you will notice in verse 14 to 15, there are four statements that Paul makes that follow together in such a way that one leads to another until the last forms the foundation of which the others rest. Thus Paul said, it is impossible for men to preach who are not sent. And if they have not been sent, then it is impossible to hear without a preacher, and it is impossible to believe who do not hear, and thus it would be impossible to call upon the name of the Lord who do not believe. And thus, if they have not heard, then they cannot believe. Then they cannot believe, for what would they be believing? It's kind of a tongue twister. And if they do not believe, then how could they call upon the right God? Then it would be impossible for them to be saved. So then the entire source and origin of salvation rests on this point, that God sends out someone, and if God sends him, then he is a truly sent minister of the word. But if he does not send out any, then they who preach, preach falsely, and their preaching is no preaching at all. In fact, it would be better for them not to preach. It's just like if they took off the so-called Christian songs off these radio stations, there'd probably be an awful lot of silence. Because most of them are the old gospel songs made to some type of almost like a rock and roll twist. And if they took off all the false preaching off the radio, there wouldn't be any preaching on the radio. Brother Branham's no longer on the radio. He was on in the 70s. Alright. So if he does not send out any, then they who preach, preach falsely, and their preaching is no preaching at all. In fact, it would be better for them not to preach. Then also they who hear, hear error. And it would be better for them had they not even heard. Then also they who believe would believe false doctrine, and it would be better for them not to believe. Then also they who call upon him would call falsely upon a false Lord, and it would be better for them not to call at all, for their calling would be to a false Lord. For such preachers do not preach. Such hearers do not hear. Such believers do not believe. Such callers do not call. Therefore they will all be damned, because they're saved by falsehood. Pretty powerful. But those are the words of Martin Luther pertaining to what Paul said here. Then tell me that having a wrong understanding of the Godhead doesn't make any difference. It doesn't matter what you believe, just so you believe. Oh, yeah? That's almost insane to think. Thus, we should see by this that in order for us to ever get out of here, we must come to the place that we receive a true word which will bring on the renewing of the inner man and thus a change of the outer man or a change of the body. Thus, true doctrine brings with it maturity, which means that we are a fully child-trained. And we found out Wednesday night that this right wiseness and true holiness are the essential ingredients that will precipitate our change of the body. Now, the Apostle Paul further stated in Colossians 3:10 that putting on the new man, or the coming forth into view of the new man, will come only as a result of our inner man being renewed by a specific type of knowledge. He said, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So the knowledge isn't just, we got knowledge of the Old Testament, we got knowledge of the Scriptures, No, he says, put on a knowledge about God. Well, what's the Godhead? Can't be any plainer. The doctrine of Christ, what is it? It's all about God. You see? Here we see the renewal of the mind, and thus the inner man begins by receiving into our mind a specific knowledge. And not only just any knowledge will do, because the word Paul uses here is a Greek word epignosis, which means a precise and correct knowledge. Therefore, he is speaking of what takes place when this precisely correct knowledge of God comes into our mind. This is the reason that understanding the Godhead correctly and having a precise understanding is so crucial to our receiving a body change. For without having this precise and correct knowledge of God, we will have no way to receive a change in our body. Our body change, then, is totally dependent upon receiving this precisely correct understanding of the Godhead. He said, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Therefore, we need the perfect understanding to put away this imperfect flesh and the imperfect thinking, and to bring on the body change, or the change of the body, that will take on the perfect, glorified condition that was in the perfect mind of the perfect God before the world or the earth was formed. Now, Brother Van taught us that this new body, or this body, is formed one cell at a time, just like an earthly body. From the message, Modern Events Made Clear by Prophecy, he said, when one cell goes in there, another cell builds on that, on top of that. It's not one cell of a human, the next of a dog, the next of a cat, the next of something else. It's absolutely straightly human being. And when a man's born of the Spirit of God, he don't inject anything into his life. It's unadulterated Word of God, vindicated for that hour. He takes the full Word of God. He don't put no creeds, nothing else to it. It's purely, unadulterated, God's Word made manifest among us. So if we're going to get a body changed, we got to add word cell upon word cell upon word cell. And not just taking this, because I can tell you what, I can take this and read it from a Baptist viewpoint, that's not going to bring on a body change. I can read it from a Catholic viewpoint, it's not going to bring on a body change. But you've got to take it in the light of the Word which is manifested in your hour. You see? Now, Brother Van taught us that again, from his sermon, trying to do God a service without it being his will, he said, and if you were ordained from the beginning of the earth to that word, every word will come right on top of word, like a human cell will not have one human cell, next a dog, next a cell of a cat. It'll be all human cells. But it's got to have a cell first to start with. Is that right? Say amen. Well, if it is the word cell to start with, the other word cells are ordained to make it a full body. In other words, if you're born again, how? Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, how? By the Word of God, then to build the body's got to be by the Word of God. It's not, well, glory to God, I'm justified, therefore, that's it, it's a finished process. Or, glory to God, I'm justified, I've got this revelation, now, I'm going to put on the works, I'm going to become sanctified. That's not it. He said, word cell upon word cell upon word cell upon word cell upon word cell. Not glory to God, now we've got, we got born again by the Word, now we're going to go into charismatics. We're going to go into tongues. We're going to go into gifts. No,
word cell upon word cell upon word cell upon word cell upon word cell building up a body. Why? Because the glorified body, the theophany, the celestial body, the theophany, the theo, God, body, what is God? He's the Word. It's a Word body. And therefore, it has got to be joined to this body. This body needs a change to come together with that theophany to bring forth the glorified body. And what's the word glorified come from? It's the word endoxa. It comes from the root of doxa, which means the very thoughts and mind of God, the judgment, the assessment, the opinion of God. Therefore, it's got to be word on top of word, on top of word, word cell on top of word cell on top of word cell. So if you're feeding your mind with everything else, you're not feeding your new body. You got to be feeding your mind with the Word of God. Word on top of word on top of word. And not just a bunch of preaching on the radio. That's not going to do you any good. That'll tear you down. That's like injecting arsenic into the womb of the mind. But it's got to be vindicated word upon vindicated word. See? Now, from the rapture, Brother Bram said, when a germ comes into the womb of the female, you didn't become a human germ from your father, and then the next you become a germ from a dog, and the next from a cat, and the next from a chicken. It was all human germ. And the body of Jesus Christ, the bride, will be part of his body, which will be, he was the Word, and the bride will have to be the Word. Word added to word added to word. Luther's justification, Wesley's sanctification, Pentecostal baptism of the Holy Ghost, restoration of the gifts, and all the rest of it goes with it. It's got to be the word on top of word, germ on top of germ, life on top of life, to bring out the full statue of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now from the sermon, God Rich in Mercy, Brother Bam said, now, if you've got eternal life tonight, if we have eternal life, then we always were, because there's only one form of eternal life, we always were, and the reason we were is because we're a part of God. So if we are a part of God, our soul is a part of God, then we've got to have a God body to match it. A Word body, because God is the Word. Therefore, we should now be able to see what Brother Brown meant in a statement from paragraph 112 of Who Is This Melchizedek, where he said, now we see here plainly the complete secret of our lives in journey and death, and where we go after we die. Also, predestination is in plain view here. Now listen, as we teach this closely, the stages of the eternal purpose that he had in his secret has now been revealed. And thus we should now understand that the stages of the eternal purpose he had are revealed. It's not a mystery anymore. Now there's one more thing that I would like for us to understand concerning this maturity of the inner man in order for us to receive our body change. This process was not finished when God took his prophet off the scene. Now remember, this process is fully dependent upon a specific knowledge of God, as the Apostle Paul declared in Colossians 3:10, where he said, and let's just turn to it, I want everybody to read it for themselves. Turn to Colossians 3, and I want you to read from verse 10. Notice he says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. Notice, how does this new man, how is it renewed? It's by knowledge after the image of him that created him. Therefore, it must be a knowledge of God, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. That's the Creator, God himself. So it's a knowledge, and Paul said that word, knowledge is epigenosis, and it means a precise and correct knowledge of the one who is the Creator. Now here Paul is telling us what takes place when this precisely correct knowledge of God comes into our mind. And we found out that the renewal process is a maturing of the inner man. And if it also is a process then there must also be some channel that God uses to bring about this process. Now the Apostle Paul tells us what this channel is. Can anybody tell me? What is a channel that God uses to bring a perfection? What channel does God use for the perfecting of the saints? Okay, through what? Huh? Through what? It's the Word. Through what? The Word is what brings the life. But through what channel? Ephesians chapter 4 speaks of what? A fivefold ministry. You see, listen to this. There is one Lord, Paul says. Let's turn to it. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look at this. You know, this is the one thing. The people have got to come to the place where they recognize, they've got to have an understanding of what the fivefold is. On the one hand, you've got people trying to make them God. On the other hand, you got people saying, well, I don't have to listen to that. Hey, he's just a man. Well, we could say that about Jesus. He was just a man. But Brother Vance said sometimes it was the Father speaking, sometimes it was the Son. You see? Now listen to this. Ephesians 4, verse 5. There is one Lord and one faith. That's revelation. There's one revelation. Notice there's one revelation of this one Lord. See? There is one Lord, therefore there must be one revelation and one baptism. There's one God and Father of all who is above all. He's telling us who that one Lord is. And through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now to understand what Paul is telling us here, he's telling us that although there is one Lord and one faith, which is the one revelation of our Lord, of that one Lord, yet not everyone will understand this. In fact, in other Paul's epistles, especially in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we find Paul speaking of this grace as a certain ability to comprehend the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, let's just read it for ourselves. Hold your finger there in Ephesians because we're going to go back to it. But let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now notice here in verse 4. He says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Now if you watch closely the construction of this sentence, you will notice that Paul first tells us that he is thankful for the grace of Christ that has been given to us. Now, if it is given, then it is a gift. Correct? So this grace is a gift. Notice then that Paul goes on to tell us that what this grace will do for us. That in everything you are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Therefore this grace is given with the sole purpose in mind to enrich us in all logos and in all knowledge. Specifically, he is speaking of the knowledge that he also spoke of in Colossians 3 and 10, which precise and correct knowledge of God is to bring forth the maturing process that renews our mind and inner man. Now, this enriching is like pouring fertilizer on the plant. And we do that for the sole purpose of that plant attaining full maturity and ripeness. Therefore, you can see how Colossians and 1 Corinthians tie together. You see, notice in his words in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice then this grace is to give us a charisma, a spiritual endowment or understanding, that we might be able to comprehend the coming, the apocalypsis, or the unveiling of Christ. Now, getting back to the fourth chapter of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul tells us that there is one Lord and one faith, or one revelation of that one Lord. And then he tells us a little further on how this one Lord and one faith will bring us to maturity. In verse 11, he says, and he gave some. And if God gave some, then these are gifts from God to the church. And remember, he had just spoken of a different measure of grace, which is an ability to understand the knowledge of God. And now he is telling us that he placed other gifts in the church to help them further understand. Notice when he says, back in verse 7, he says, but unto every one of us is given grace. Remember, grace is that specific knowledge or an ability to understand. He says, but unto us, everyone is given this specific ability to understand according to the measure of the gift. So if he got a great deal of understanding given to him, then he's got it. If he got just enough to comprehend, then God gives him other gifts to help him fully comprehend. And that's what he's telling us. Then God placed in the church a ministry as a gift to the people to help them come to a full realization, a full understanding of the knowledge of God. Notice. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, why did God give these gifts to the church? Notice he says, for the perfecting of the saints. Now, wait just a minute. What does that mean for the perfecting of the church? The word perfecting here is the Greek word katartismos, which means to furnish off, to equip, or make complete. In other words, to bring to maturity or completeness. Then Paul continues, for the work of the ministry. Now wait a minute. For the work of the ministry. Notice that God gives to the church a gift to help them come to full maturity and for the working of the ministry. I want you to hold that in your thinking now. And this simply means for the laboring in the ministry or for the doing it. But then he adds, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now this word edify is from a Greek word, oikodome, which means for the building up. And notice he is speaking of the body of Christ. Therefore this ministry is for adding word upon word. He just say, the fivefold ministry then is for the edifying or the building up of the body. Adding word upon word, cell upon cell, word cell upon word cell. Therefore the people are dependent upon the channel that God has given them, and that's why God has not taken the fivefold ministry out. In fact, He won't take it out until the body is complete. You see. That's why when people say, well, we got the taste, we don't need a bunch of men. Well, I tell you what. You might have the tapes, but you're not going to get it just from the tapes. You're going to have a ministry burn a hole through your soul. I remember years ago reading the life story of John Wesley. And a man was talking about what a great preacher that George Whitefield was. He said, the guy was telling the story. It was an excerpt from his own testimony of the life of John Wesley. And he said, you know, the difference between John Wesley and George Whitefield, George Whitefield was a better preacher. George Whitefield, he said, I was a shipbuilder. He said, and when I sat in his services, it was as though I could take a ship and build it from stem to stern. He said he was such eloquent and just everything was just so placed and perfect and everything else. He said it all just seemed to fit together. But he said, but it did nothing for my soul. But he said, when I sat in John Wesley's presence, he said those eyes burned a hole right through my soul. And those words came forth and brought just a message right from the presence of God to my soul. He said it did something for me. But you know, a lot of people don't like that. A lot of people would rather just listen to a tape. It's easy to get a tape, hookup, or whatever. And it makes it so easy. Because then we don't have to have the eyes of God burn a hole through us. You say the eyes of God? Yeah. Listen to what Brother Branham says here in just a minute. Now, what's the purpose then? He says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, and the word perfect here means fully grown or mature, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, until we come forth with a body change, that we henceforth be no more children. Notice the purpose of the fivefold again. It is for the building up of the body until we be no more children. And when are we no more children? When we are fully grown and mature. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro by, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Notice the whole purpose of the ministry is to get us to grow up. It's to challenge us to become adult, to become mature in Christ. And there we have it. The purpose of the fivefold ministry is to bring forth maturity in the body of Christ. Then what of those who do not believe in a fivefold ministry? If they do not believe, if they do not receive the true fivefold ministry of God, will they come to this maturity? I ask the question. Can they come to this maturity if this is an ordained channel of God for it to come? If they do not receive the true fivefold ministry of God, will they come to this maturity? Is it then any wonder why they cannot seem to understand the Godhead? Is it a wonder that they seem to be tossed about by every wind of doctrine? Is it any wonder why they have so many problems in their life? Why they never have victory? From earnestly contending for the faith, Brother Brown said, He has raised from the dead. He's here right now. Now, what does He do? He works through individuals as He has called. God has set, not the church has set, but God has set in the church. First apostles, second prophets, teachers, evangelists, all kinds of gifts God has placed in the church for the perfecting or drawing together. From then Jesus came, Brother Branham said, but God has set in the church five different gifts. Apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. Those are for the perfecting of the church. That is His proof, His ministering spirit to the church to bring the body of Christ together.
Now, let's read a few quotes from Brother Branham pertaining to this ministry to perfect the saints. From the results of his decision, Brother Branham said, and God sends some in the church, first apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, sets gifts in His church, speaking with tongues, interpretation, all kinds of signs and things for the perfecting of the church to bring the people together and let them know that He is the living God living among His people. So what are they going to do? They're going to preach presence because they're letting the people know that He's living among His people. He's the living God. From Perseverance, he said, now I believe that there's a church coming into that perfection, that ministry of perfection, where the offices were apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists, for the perfecting of the church, them pastors and teachers and so forth, will be so with the Word until the whole thing will work right up to the coming of the Lord. I believe that, and I believe we're nearing that time now. I believe it so. From blind Bartimaeus, Brother Branham said, Jesus has risen from the dead. If Jesus has risen from the dead, the Bible said He ascended up to the throne of God. We all believe that. And He sent gifts back to men. And then He sent back and put in the church first apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors, all for the perfecting of the church, the drawing it together. And now in here He claimed that in His church he would be the same always. Again from blind Bartimaeus, he said, apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, God sent in the church for the perfecting of the church. That's divine gifts that God foreordained and set into the church. See? Those are for the perfecting of the church. Jesus speaks through His pastor, speaks through His teacher, speaks through His seer, His prophet, speaks through His missionary to the countries and so forth. That's His gifts that He's put into the church. And from Jesus Christ the same, he said, now His corporal body sits at the right hand of God. You believe that, don't you? But the Holy Spirit is here working through His sanctified vessels. And God has said in the church, what? First apostles, then prophets, and teachers, and evangelists, and pastors. Is that right? For the perfecting of the church. God has did it. It's not the preacher that preaches. It's God preaching through him. It's not the prophet that sees the vision. It's God speaking through him. I do nothing except the Father shows me first what to do. Then I ask the question, is there any difference from a true fivefold minister of God and His own Son, Jesus Christ, outside of the salvation part, the body? It's the same concept. God using a vessel speaking to you through a vessel. And if you can't take that, you can't take God and His way of doing it. You see? From their eyes were open, he said, and God set some in the church, first apostles, then prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, all for the perfecting of the church. How can we turn one down and say the other one isn't so? God does it Himself. It's nothing in the world but just yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit takes over from there, and you don't know what you're doing. It's the Holy Spirit's sovereign work. From Jesus Christ the same, he said, the Bible said that God has set in the church five different gifts. Is that right? God has. Now, there's nine gifts in the local church, just on one or the other, but five ministerial gifts. Apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. Is that right? Five spiritual gifts. Now, those gifts are for the perfecting of the church, to keep the church in order. Pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets and so forth. Now, it's gifts. Now, no matter how much these men here are gifted to preach, you've got to also believe what they preach or it isn't going to do you one good. It isn't going to do one good. they could just preach on and on and on, and you'd never get saved. You'd die right in the pew and be lost. That's right. Sitting right there. That's right. You've got to believe what they're saying. Well, no matter what God would do here, in a way of prophetic gift, you have to believe it too.
So our conclusion to this matter is that God sends out someone. One of His fivefold gifts to the church, and that ministry is ordained to bring forth a maturity in the elect. And this comes because this gift of God declares a certain knowledge which is so precise and correct that it begins to take hold of the elect in the inner man, bringing forth maturity and a renewing process which then begins a cell upon cell of that word feeding the growing body until the body change comes forth into manifestation. When will that be? When we are fully child trained and ready to receive our celestial body. And then meet our Lord, our older brother, Jesus, somewhere in a higher dimension. So then salvation and the body change rests on this. That God sends out someone. Because if He doesn't send out someone, then they who preach, preach falsely. And their preaching is no preaching at all. In fact, it would be better for them not to preach. Then also they who hear, hear error, and it would be better for them not to hear. Then also they who believe would believe falsely, false doctrine, and it would be better for them not to believe. Then also they who call upon Him would call falsely upon a false Lord, and it would be better for them not to call at all, for their calling would be false. So I hope you understand the significance of God actively being involved in your life by giving you a fivefold ministry. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank You for Your Word once again, knowing that this Word is not only for this local church, but it's for those around the world that are feeding on this ministry. And Father, knowing that it's not my words, I just go to my study and I just ask You, Lord, to guide us and direct our thoughts. And Father, You begin to minister to me, and then I take that same Word which You gave to me and I give it back to the people, just as Jesus said, it's not my words, but the Father's that sent me. And so, Father, we see ourselves in the same role as Your Son. When Father, we of ourselves can do nothing, but what we see the Father do, that we as sons do likewise. And so, Lord, we just commit the ministering of Your Word and the changing of our body and the maturity that comes with it. We commit this entire process back to Thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you all. Let's just close in some songs and worship. I realize that God's given us a channel, and I'm very thankful, because had it not been for the channel of a teacher, where would I be today? And so God used a ministry to help bring me to a maturity in the Word, and I believe He's using my ministry to help others, at least 300 ministers that I know around the world that have written to me and want more and more. And those brothers are taking it out and bringing maturity to their flock. So we're seeing something happen that is truly remarkable in the sense of the word, because it's not like we have a great budget like where we can just kind of do all this stuff and then maybe there'll be some results of it, but we are working with basically a very limited budget, in fact hardly any budget at all. And it's not the budget that's doing it. It's not the laptops that's doing it. They get a hold of a little book that costs 6 cents to print off and they take that and they make copies of it, and the doctrine is there, the quotes, the scriptures, and it's just a real settling in for them. People that have been in the message for 20 plus years and finally coming to know what the message is all about, and the maturity brings with it, and the settling down, and they're no longer bounced back and forth between two souls and seven thunders and this and that, but they all set it all aside and they recognize there's one thing we're preaching, and that's Jesus Christ. And then their maturity comes from that, and that relationship that they have with Him. Amen.